time, folks. This is your host, Kyrie Sinod. I'm here, and I have Mesa Leek in the building, the beautiful, the very talented Mesa Leek. And I chose that.
Hello. Well. Something happens. I can't hear you, sweetie.
What happened?
Oh, no, there we go. I couldn't hear you for a second.
Oh. I don't know what happened to that. Okay, now, but this is always something on this show. Let me say, this show always has some type of mishap.
I know, that's how karaoke does me every Sunday. I don't care how I prepare for it, it's always some mess. I don't know, it's always crazy. Can't find the music after I pulled it out, put it on the computer, in my face. Still can't find it.
No, but thank you for being here. Thank you so much.
Oh,
so
no
how
problem.
How are you doing
today? I'm good, honey. I just came back from Cincinnati last night doing the show. Tribute to Black Exodus or something. It was a really good show. They have it every year, and last night I was a guest of special effects, Michaela Minucci and Gerald Veasley, so Big Smooth Jazz, and Karen Briggs, and Marion Meadows, and it was a lot of fun.
It was like a hot show in Cincinnati. Now, that's what I was born in Cincinnati.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Home.
Yes.
Yes. You couldn't hear me, I was saying I chose Deep Water as the intro song today because that was the song that introduced me to your voice.
Oh, that's awesome.
In 1993, came out. Chicago wore that song. WGCI wore that, but whatever station you listen to, GCI, V103, WNUA Jazz, I don't care what you are, WKKC, the college station, everybody played Deep Water.
Whoa.
And that was.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was it. That was
such
it.
A blessing to be a.
Great.
I was saying, such a blessing to still be have that song to give me a whole career. You know, it's amazing. That one song.
Yeah, so that is the song that really kicked off your career.
Yeah, they kicked off, and then
still
a friend of mine kicked off behind it.
Yeah, that's like the ongoing debate, like what is your favorite, you know, back in the day, favorite incarnate of the song, Friend of Mine or The Deep Water.
Yeah.
Mine is always, it was not, it's going to be Deep Water, that particular cut. So now, how did you get started in the business?
Wow, it's a long time ago. Wow, it seems like when I was in college, I met one of my best friends, Kim Brewer, who went out to, she left Morgan to go sing with a girl group, and the manager of the girl group stole all the money, so she went to sing background for Mickey Howard, and when she was at rehearsal, Stevie Wonder was rehearsing in the same venue, and one of his bodyguards asked her, did she want to audition for Steve, and she did, she passed the audition, and she sang with him for quite a while, and then, about a year, so then they came to Baltimore to sing with the Morgan State University Choir that I was on, under the direction of Dr. Nathan Carter, and so every year they would come do a Martin Luther King celebration, and when he came that particular year, that was 1990, she asked him, could I audition? He's looking for an alto voice, and I did, and I passed the audition, but I asked him, could I finish school first, because I wanted to finish college. I had 1 year left. Okay. So after that year, 1991, I went out to L.A. and sang background on the Jungle Fever album.
Oh, okay. Now, there's some major trivia. I never knew that. And that made the next to Steve. So it's so much different now because, that was, the story back in the day. You had to audition. You had to know how to sing. Now, all of a sudden, we have instant singers. I can just put out a YouTube video, and somebody's going to come call us. But not
I guess.
I really want to say this. I'm not knocking it. But I just feel you should have some talent behind you. Because nowadays it's different. You're back when you came in, you had to know how to sing. So with me saying that, when do you think the shift happened to where it's no longer about talent but about shaking your top five and a look?
It happened a long time ago when I first came out. So my career started in the early 90s. That's when that Milli Vanilli stuff was going on, you know what I mean? And the thing with the Music Factory and all that stuff where people were faking, singing. They weren't even singing. They're just stealing people's tracks and miming, And
right.
So that started back in the day. This whole thing about, the Star Search and all those talent shows, I think they started off in a well-meaning way where just to showcase talent and, that kind of thing. But it became this thing that was with the, introduction of social media and stuff like YouTube and all this stuff and showing how you can act a fool and become a star overnight and make money, then people think everybody has access to that, So,
right.
So it became more or less about talent, about honing your craft, about the blood, sweat, and tears of going through everything that, my colleagues, especially a lot of my colleagues and people in this industry who really have sweated out for many years. It's a lot of work, a lot of ass kissing, a lot of taking it on the chin, a lot of getting hits in the stomach. I mean, it's a lot of people. My whole career has been about, it's just dealing with the BS of the whole thing. It's like I was never good enough for anything. When I was small, I wasn't small enough. When I, my voice was, they told me my voice was all special. There's so many things. So in order to achieve my dream, I had to have the fortitude to keep going, to keep fighting, without compromising my morals, without sleeping around, without doing drugs, without drinking with people, not doing none of that stuff. I just kept working hard, being, a professional, and people called me back, and that's how I built my career over 27 years.
Yeah.
But they got
Mm-hmm. You are one of the most respected names in the industry. You are. And that's commendable.
I appreciate that. But that's that takes a lot of pride. Like that, nobody can, there's no scandal, no skeletons and all that stuff. Besides on bills from hell, I got a lot of bills. That's all scandal I got.
We all got that. Right, at least it was no scandal. And so I remember when I interviewed you for the magazine, we were talking at that particular time. There was a TV show out called R&B Diva. And because Now, I think, but I think that show, it went in with great intention. This is my thing.
Yes.
Great intention, but it ended on such a bad note. And I think it's because the people who put it out there had good intentions, but the people who took it over wanted to keep up with the Love and Hip Hop and the other legacy shows. And you lost the whole feeling. Yeah, and you lost the whole meaning of the show because the show was supposed to, I think, revive some of those careers and put them back out there because everybody on there in the beginning were really talented women.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened. Like, it just went left. They took a left on Albuquerque when they should have went right.
Well, I think, you know, because it's ratings. It's all about ratings, isn't it? I mean, I was part of a reality show. It's a pilot that we made for, you know, some musicians like in the D.C. area, you know, singers and people in the D.C. area. We were going to try to, I mean, we even had Matthew Knowles came in to talk to us about it, but he wanted drama. He wanted us to, he tried to create it. So I was actually in a space where, so he came in one day. We did a thing. We all gathered together. Now, I was a little bit late on the time, but they told us to be there now. They told you be there at 8 o'clock. I got there like 8:20 because there was some traffic jam thing with some construction. And I had no idea how this meant. Obviously, somebody told them that I was a little bit late. Now, I wasn't late. Everybody was getting their makeup done. Everybody was still in the process of getting dressed. So I was not late as far as like making things stop in progress. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he came. But when we got to the board, we got around the boardroom. We were sitting around the table. And he was introducing himself and talking about the idea of the concept and how it's going to go down. He came up to me talking about, and look, and you, Miss Leek, I hear that you're very unprofessional. And I said, huh?
What?
I said, what? And basically he was saying, you know, it was just like he was just trying to get a rise out of me because that's what, he was letting us know this is what it's going to be. Like, they're going to set up situations where we're going to have going to go off, we're going to be upset. And I was like, you know what? I can't do that. That's not what we came in here for. We came in to try to show a different light. It's showing black women getting along and doing stuff together and having a good time and doing positive things because that can happen. That does happen. But they don't want, you know, the powers that be don't want to see that. And they said that the people in the world don't want to see that. They want to see each other, be people calling each other bitches and all that stuff. And that's not me. I will never, no, you can't call me a bitch. I won't talk to you ever again. If you call me a bitch thinking it's funny, then I will never speak to you again. That's how I am. And so... I don't, you know, so with all that stuff, all this instantaneous fame, and then you got to do this, you got to compromise this, you got to be this person, you got to change that, I'm not interested. So I think that's why a lot of people say, well, Mesa, you know, you've been in 27 years, but you're not like, I'm not big as Jill Scott and all these other people. Well, that's okay. I'm still here, though, and I'm still rolling.
Exactly.
I'm 27 years, and I'm going to keep rolling until God takes me out of this world. So I'm, you know, I'm still relevant. My music's still relevant. I still make stuff. You know, in my next record, even going to be more relevant because I'm changing up a whole lot of stuff, but I'm not leaving my people. You know what I'm saying? I'm not leaving the base of people who have held me up, held me down for 27 years. So, but it's going to be fun. So what I'm saying is that, you know, people can choose that because, yeah, you do. You can make a lot of money, but you burn out fast, too.
Well, I can't wait for the new project, man. Right, but whoever said you're not big as Jill Scott, I mean, okay. Well, I mean, she's good. Jill is a great artist. Don't get me wrong. She's great. But you will still sell out a venue. Because, like I said, Chicago is a place that loves Mesa Leek. And I have, you know, been to many shows, and it was packed out. So, yeah, whoever said that, they did their research.
Okay.
And have that, and I wonder, have they ever saw you live? Because a friend of mine had put on my post out, she saw you at Navy Pier in Chicago, and you had, I wasn't there. And I guess something happened to the microphone, and you just sang, and you filled the outside venue.
Yeah, because I just tried to call on my classical trainer. That's what I was trained to be an opera singer, but I just didn't want to. That's what my training, that's what my degree is in, classical performance. And I just didn't want to, I just wanted to pursue that. My love of my music, jazz, my people's music, jazz and soul and funk and R&B, and
that's what I've been wanting to do since I was a little girl. So that's where I wanted to stay. And, you know, but the training has been amazing, absolutely amazing. I've been able to keep my voice, been able to keep my voice going. There was one time I lost my voice back in I think around 2007 or 8 or 2006, something like that, because I didn't know I was allergic. My cousin had moved in, and her daughter had a rabbit, and I didn't know I was allergic to rabbits. So we couldn't find out what was going on. I had to go to several doctors. I even went to Mariah Carey's doctor in New York because we couldn't figure out what happened to my voice. And so he told me that after the x-ray or after the thing they put the tube down your throat, he told me that there's two things on my throat that he thinks I was born with, and that might be why I have my sound, so they don't want to mess with it. And I'm like, you're absolutely not going to mess with that. No, hell no. So I'm going to have to figure out another way. And it turned out that I was allergic to the rabbit. Once we got rid of the rabbit and all his little stuff, then my voice returned. So that's just, you know, so that the classical training is really important. I advise anybody coming into the music industry to train classically if you can, just to get the stamina. Because, you know, if you just notice how opera singers, how they sing and how much power they don't need microphones and all this kind of thing, that takes a lot.
Right.
So that's one of the things that I'm really proud of. I'm really glad I chose to go to Morgan State University and get that training.
Excellent. Well, if you're coming to the music industry, she admonishes you to train classically. I admonish you just to train, period.
Any kind of training. Yeah. It doesn't have to be classical, but yeah. The classical training is good, though, any kind of training.
Yeah, I saw some show and this one of these new singers, and they were talking about voice lessons, and she just felt like she didn't need them. I'm like, there are people who have been in the industry and they still take lessons. You still have to sharpen your craft.
Yeah, that's where we got lost. That's where we get lost. That's why singers are leaving the industry after that first album, because they can't do it. They can't hang. Because they thought they don't need it. They think, but see, a lot of people not in it for the music. So that's the whole thing. That's the difference. Either you're going to be in it for the music or you bullshitting. It's either or. It's like, if you're a musician, you understand you need training, you need to practice, you need to, you know, be professional, you need to do all those things. If you're just BSing around, then you don't care and you'll play the game and you'll do anything.
Exactly, and seems like that's what we're getting anything, but now, for me, my problem isn't with the quote-unquote singer. It's with the people. When do we start accepting whatever? You know, like we just, I think it's happened in every job. We just start accepting whatever.
Yeah.
We got away from talent. It is to me, because I miss talent, like you said back then. You had to go through blood, sweat, and tears. You had to work. You had to get out there and really hustle. But now, the people with those attitudes that I don't need voice lessons, you got this because you have 10,000 likes.
Right.
You got 10,000 likes from now.
That's all it's about.
I have arrived. I have 10,000 likes. Come on now.
Right. And how you going to back that up? That's the thing. You got to back it up, baby. That's the whole thing. Now, you know, if I ever do teach voice and teach, you know, talk about teach young people trying to be in the industry, that's one of the things I'm going to harp on. It's like, you know, if you don't know who you are, if you don't understand your craft and your voice, it's a gift, and people lose it. What it is, you know, it's a God-given talent. And if you squander it, that's probably one of the most sad things ever. If you don't use that, you know, some people don't believe in God, so I guess they would understand. But people who say they do believe in God and they squander the gift he gave them, that's just disgusting to me. And it's like, how do you do that? You know, because there's so many people want to be this because that's all we've been taught. That nobody wants to be a neurosurgeon anymore. You want to be that damn singer. They're like, you know, or they want to be an actor. They want to make the big bucks. They want people to kiss their ass. They want people to go around and like, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. They're like, you know, and I, you know, want to be right. this person that can't talk to people. Got to have bodyguards. Got it. Who wants to live that life? I mean, as a mature person, that's why I never prayed for that. I never prayed for that superstardom. I wanted to be. I asked God for longevity when I was 15 years old. I said, God, I just want to sing
that's
forever,
it.
God, please. That's all. And he gave it to me. I should have asked for some money, too, by the way. I didn't ask for that. But other than that, I've been doing good. I think I've been doing good. So, you know, not what everybody else might think is, you know, like superstar status and all this stuff. I didn't want that in the first place.
So now when you, okay, well, now when you say that you want longevity, which, you are legendary, that title, sometimes they put that title on people and I'm like, no. It just came out 6 years ago. That's right. You are legendary. So when did you decide? When did you try to embark on a solo career? And you missed Incognito.
Well, when I got to Incognito, you know, I auditioned for Incognito over the phone while I was out in L.A. singing with Stevie. I was doing other work with other producers, and one of the producers is Bluey's best friend, and he's called me one day and said his best friend is looking for an American singer. So they just had this big hit with Jocelyn Brown, and so they were looking for a permanent American singer. And I said, yeah, I'm down, you know, let me do that. And I talked to Bluey on the phone. I thought he was calling me to tell me when I was going to go to London because he said we're going to bring you to London for your audition. But after I sang to him, he asked me to sing him two songs, and I did. Oh, don't you worry about singing something else. And after I sang, don't you worry about thing, he said, the manager called me the next day and said I got the gig, so that's when I went with Incognito and did that for, you know, the first 4 years.
Phone audition,
yeah. And then when we were at the North Sea Jazz Festival, a man named Carl Griffin, who was the vice president of artists and repertoire back then, he came up to me after the show was over and he said, I think it's time for your solo career. And I was like, what? I was like, who is this man? Like, what are you talking about? And he was like, no, it's time for you to be a solo artist, I think. Are you ready for that? And I was like, yeah. He said, well, I'll bring you to New York. And so I went to New York when I got back home. Oh, actually, I came home to visit family, and I went and spoke to him. And that's when they said, well, you know, to come back home permanently and be a solo artist. And that was and at the same time, I was having issues with Incognito's management. As far as contractually. And so that's why I just all kind of worked out that I had a place to jump to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And so I love Incognito, but it's no offense to anybody, but when it's not Mesa singing, it's a totally different feel. I'm just like, you know, like when you're not lead vocal, I enjoy Jocelyn Brown because that's a beast on the microphone. I love that moment.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought you and her y'all did nice over each other. Oh my God, that's it.
Oh yeah.
I was like, if I was there live, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh no, so we do have a call. You want to take a call?
Huh?
And you want to take a phone call real quick?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Hello, caller. Your code is 443. Last four is 7174. Hello?
Yeah.
I thought it was always talking. What is going on? It's right. Oh my God. Let me see if I can do it from. Oh God, Mason, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay, man. It's okay.
There's always something going on this show. But while I'm waiting for this to clear up, though, while waiting for this clip. So, yeah, your first, now, were you nervous about being a solo artist?
Yeah, I was scared. Oh my God. But, you know, I would say I was scared, but then I had I don't know, I was kind of brave, too, in the sense that I just had this fearless, you know, I was 24 years old, and I was trying to make a point, you know, prove a point that I, you know, because everybody, when I first left home and
everybody's like, no, don't go to California. You'll get on drugs. You'll get pregnant. You won't do it. You'll make it. Like, oh, my God. That's just such I'm just going to die. And I remember when I wasn't singing with Stevie, because Stevie had chose other singers to go to Brazil. There's a big tour. And so I had to get a job. I was like, oh, I didn't get chosen for the tour. I was upset as hell. And so I went and got.
I said, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I went and got. I had to get some jobs. So I worked as a. Was at a music store called the May. I mean, a warehouse. And then I went at Macy's. It's called the May Company. It used to be called the May Company up there. I did several things just to keep moving, you know, and. So I was depressed. I was working at Macy's at Christmas time, and everybody's rich coming in buying shit, and I ain't had no money, and I couldn't afford to go home. I was so depressed. So to get that call from Bluey was like, oh, it was amazing. And so I was able to, to go to London and start my life.
Yes, excellent. Excellent. Actually, that's an inspiring story for anybody that's really, you know, listless. Don't give up. You get picked to go on the tour. Don't give up. Yeah, there's always somebody watching. Somebody watching. Somebody's on. Something's gonna happen. You know, the universe will always have your back. Uh-huh. Okay, let's try it. Let's see. Okay, caller, area code 443 and last four 7174. You're on with Mesa. How you doing? Now I got to fix it. Oh, God. Okay. We're going back to top in the Mesa. Because the caller, I don't know, you changed your mind. You want to say that?
It's all good.
It's always something. Anyway, so you didn't go on tour. You started your solo career, which is that solo album. That's still actually a classic. Anybody, you know, is if you're a true Mesa Lee fan, you love that album. My favorite song album is JFS.
Oh wow,
that's classic because you make classic music. Meaning, you know, you can play it like you made that back way back when, and it's still jams today.
Oh, that's good. I tried that. You know, that's what I always wanted to do, make sure, you know, because I grew up with timeless music. I grew up on the 70s in music. You know what I'm saying? That stuff is timeless forever and ever and ever. So I wanted to be that kind of person that, you know, get as close as I can to making that something that people will always listen to forever. You know, I don't want to be the Jack Leg, you know, one hit wonder kind of thing. I've never wanted that in my life. So I worked hard to try to make it happen.
That's well, you work hard. I would still say you're a household name, you know, because you're in the Mesa. I mean, you don't even have to say Lee. You can just say Mesa. So you just a first name Mesa. Everyone knows that. Yeah. So yeah. So now. Going back to reality, so if you were approached, now would you do, if it was the right setting and it was with the goodness, with the everything you stood for, would you do a reality show now?
If it's positive, yeah. Only if it's positive. When people don't want to see positivity, then I guess I couldn't be able to do it because that's all they're going to get from me. They would never see with my jaws down, ever. I'm not no angel. I can go off when I have to. If people push me to that point.
Right.
I
but
can
you
really,
know, right. But you
know what I'm saying?
And one thing with off the entertainment, period. If you guys do it, it's like it's a bad reflection on you. I don't understand that.
Right.
I feel like some people will put. I remember one this guy. You had made a comment. You put on something on Facebook, and it was something about Trump. And he got so mad, he was like, you should just stick to fan.
I remember that man. He called me all kinds of names, told me I sound like a man. I can't sing. Oh, he went off on me. This is a guy I know. I've known him for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I'll be interested in how he knew him.
Yeah, I knew him. I mean, he's just somebody from Facebook. I haven't known him personally, but,
oh, okay.
You know, it's like, you know, so I was like, you know, I was shocked.
I wanted,
like that.
Go, I wanted to go in for you, and I said, no. Because I know how I am when I go off. I'm that type that if I couldn't, sometimes I go too far.
No, you don't play.
I take it too far. Right.
No.
I take it too far.
You don't play.
I'm upset.
I've been watching your phone like, oh my God. Yeah, they're balls based on the stuff you say on there. I was like, oh Lord, I can't say that.
Right. And I think that's so unfortunate that, you know, this you guys can't like just be yourself, that people forget that you are a human. I mean, you just
right.
Famous, you're on TV,
yeah,
you're
making
records.
Right.
But you
still
have talked
to all that shut up and sing stuff got on my nerves. I can't stand people say that to me. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I see
you know,
them with other entertaining. And I'm like, but you forget these people have thoughts and views just like we. You all are part of this.
Right.
And I'm like, why can't she say something about Trump? She's a part of this country. She sees what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
But I think, you know, so many people have quieted down, though. So many of these supporters, I don't really hear from them no more. It's amazing. I think they get the picture.
Right. But yeah. I admire, I haven't seen you on Twitter. Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I am, yeah. I've read your posts on Twitter, though.
Because I follow that. I follow Layla Hatcher. And she talks on Twitter. I'm like,
ooh, Lord.
Okay, girl.
I get scared for her. Because I'm like, girl, let me tell you something. I don't know. Because I was scared. I was like, they gonna give you no grip. They gave her a Grammy. They did also. I was scared for her. I was like, oh, they're going to strip her out of everything. If they don't, you know, because these people are vicious.
Right.
She was brave chick. She was brave.
Yes. I was like, she don't care. She gonna say it. That's awesome. Now
what we all wanna say.
And you brought up the Grammys now, the Grammy Awards. Have they ever asked you to even come perform at the Grammy Awards?
Nah. I was surprised I got the nomination, I'll be straight with you. I think somebody must have paid for it or something, because I was tripping. I was like, well, how did I get this? Wait a minute, what?
It would be well deserved if you got one.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. I can't tell you what that meant to me. It's to this day, I still get chills when they say Grammy-nominated Mesa. I lose it. It's like, I have to get myself together. I'm like, wait a minute, I really am. But that's something I want. I can't explain it. I wanted that since I was a little girl, like a young girl, just watching the Grammy Awards. Like, I want that. You know, I mean,
right.
You know, I didn't think I was going to win. I just was glad to be nominated. The nomination was what I loved and what I wanted my whole life. So when I got that, so I didn't even worry about winning because I remember I was there, but best friend Troy. He was with me, and he was like, and I had these high-ass heels. Oh, my God, I hated them heels. And I was like, I can't walk. I walked the red carpet. I held my stomach in. I did everything I was supposed to do. And after that, I was like, can I put some jeans on that? Like, I don't want to do this rest of this night. And so I took my shoes off, and he laid me out. You can't take shoes off. Well, take that shoes off. You got to walk around here with the shoes off. And I ended up, by the time they called my category, I didn't have no shoes on. And I said, I'm going to take my ass right up there with no shoes on if I win. So I had this long dress on, so you couldn't see my feet anyway. But I was like, it was crazy. But they were so excited, like, I couldn't breathe. When they called my category and started and read the nominees, and they started to open the envelope, I was gone. I was just gone. I've never been that nervous in my whole life. That was insanity.
I'm sure.
Like when I got the Soul Train Award, I didn't even know. It was just so much chaos. Like, I didn't even know. I just saw me and my friend, he passed away, Gary. We were sitting there and talking. And when our category came up, I saw them flash my picture and the other nominees. So I just looked away like, you know, I ain't winning this. I ain't worried about it because I'm just here to have fun and enjoy the process, you know. And then when they put my name, my picture back up there again as the winner, I lost my mind. I was like, wait a minute. So I posted it and everything. It was just so fun. It really is to get recognized for your work, especially after such a long period of time. By then it was 20-something years, and I was like, wow, that's insane.
Right. But, and I mean, sometimes, like, it's taken people that long to catch on to Layla.
Okay.
She was cold when she walked through the door.
Right.
But now, 20-something years later, you know, now she's getting a Grammy wins and nomination.
She's taking care of it. That's the thing. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm praying for the win one of these days. I really want to. I really thought Love is a Battlefield should have got nominated. I was just so pissed off about that. Really should have been that should have been all over the place. That song, the album was fantastic. It had great producers, you know, the Heavyweights and Chris Big Dog Davis and Jason Miles, all these people. They worked so hard on the album, and it sounded great. And I actually couldn't understand why, you know, I just couldn't understand why it didn't get nominated, because it really was a good record.
Yeah, and my favorite song on that album is The Things You Do for Love.
That's good. I might try to sing that tonight, karaoke. I gotta try to go to some older songs. I haven't done a lot of stuff. I'm trying to go up there and plan out some songs that I haven't done in a long time.
Now, we all know Mesa does karaoke on Sunday nights. I'm going to try this again. I'm going to say this first. Mesa does karaoke on Sunday nights. You know, if y'all catch her, you know, you can catch her on Facebook Live and everything and hear her sing the house down. Okay. We'll try this. Well, I'm going to try this one. Okay, call us 313 area code and then 6269. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? I just called. Hi, Mesa. This is Melody J.
Hey, Cynthia. How you doing?
How are you? I'm fine.
Good,
just wait, sitting up here waiting on karaoke.
Oh, that's good. It's good. I'm trying to get it together. It's going to be boring tonight compared to last week. My God.
Yes,
because
that was a party. That was fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I really did. I really did.
That's good.
But I just called and just, I didn't, you know, I thought, I didn't know if we were listening or what. I didn't know. I didn't want to talk, but you already know. I love you to life. Love you to life.
Oh.
And I can't wait on the new song. What is it?
Yeah.
I can't wait on that. Can't wait.
Thank you, babe. Cynthia,
you're welcome.
She's the stylist extraordinaire in Detroit. Every time I go to Detroit, she hooks me up. She's been doing it for 23 years now, 20 or more.
Yeah, I saw the 313.
Right.
I knew it was detail.
Yeah.
But thank you for calling.
All right. Okay,
yeah,
no problem.
Bye-bye. Love you, honey.
Okay. So, now back to the Grammy. Yeah, this album really should have been nominated. I don't understand why it was not.
I don't know. It's just like, wow. And it's hurt my feelings. I'm like, they put Childish Gambino in my category. Like, traditional R&B, that's where, you know, people, these my kind of music, kind of, that's where we fit in, you know what I mean?
And let's know, I want to ask somebody that's on the committee, what are you all doing? What happened? What happened? And then now they've taken it so far, it's where the R&B category is not even on the main screen. It's on the pre-show. You have to watch it
right
on your computer or whatever. I'm like, what happened to that? But Stephanie Mills, which I thought it was bold of her to say, but she told Oscar the truth. When she was on a show called Sister Circle, and she said they want the sound, the soulful sound, but they don't want us. I said,
right.
Wow.
Yeah.
They want to see Adele, and they want to see she named her other Caucasian artists. I'm like, that seems to be the truth.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of strange. It's kind of strange. It's historical. I mean, this is nothing new. But it seems, you
right.
know, right now, it's the light of the way the world is right now and the racial climate, it seems like it's more prevalent. I guess people are really paying more attention to it. Well,
right.
That's happened to me even at my own, you know, record company. To me, it's like they wanted to push somebody that, you know, didn't look like me, whatever. They wanted to push somebody to make them, you know, you doing the same music I'm doing, but they would rather push somebody that was younger or different, or I don't want to get into it, but it stopped being
about the music.
Because
now you got it. They want the women to be a size 2, and they want the men to have a 6-pack. That has nothing to do with music. I mean, you can look at it, but I think you're a very beautiful woman. You know, no matter how small you are, no matter how big you are, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
And I mean, it should not come down to size. It should come down to talent. Right.
I mean, people want, I mean, I don't know. I never had a trouble with, you know, attracting men in my life. I mean, but people want you to be, I guess, would you be cookie cutter, I guess. That's what they want.
Right. And that's boring. Everybody looks the same. That's boring.
Yeah. I mean, I got to get the weight off for my own reasons, but I don't want to, I'm not going to let the industry dictate. You know, I'm doing it for my health and because I want to, in the future, and see some grandchildren one day and be able to run around with them.
Right.
And I don't want to get sick. You know, I don't want to get sick from being overweight. So that's my dilemma. But other than that, you know, I wouldn't do it just to sing. I'm singing and I'm still working. And I'm still making it.
Exactly. Because everybody can come out and see Maple, no matter what. And that's what the label needs to look at. That's what they need to look at. You know.
Right.
The audience.
But that's why I'm doing my own label this year. I'm going to try to do my own record, my own label. Yeah.
Now, y'all heard that? Independent. And I tell people that. Nowadays, independent is the way to go. But some people don't want to really work. No, independent, you have to hustle. You have to have hustle in you to even do it.
Yeah, you got to have a hustle mentality. You can't play around because I got to do everything myself. So all the relationships I've built over the years and music, you know, radios and, you know, and people, you know, interviewers and all that stuff, I got to fall. That's why you can't act a fool. You got to build your relationships. Now, suppose I act like a diva and now I got to go back to all these people myself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
oops,
no.
Exactly.
Right, because you was acting like a wench, you know, back in the day. When you was with the record company, so now you're trying to, now you want something. No. So now I'm able to go back to all those relationships that I've built over the years and ask them for, you know, the help to push my record.
Oh, God, I love that. I love it. So now with your own label, are you seeking out other artists? Are you just going to do your music?
Just my music for right now. Until I got bills, got to build the money up. Got to build
that
money.
Listen, y'all heard that she is having her own. And so let's really make sure we support that. Let's really make sure we continue to support and even more. When we got
Kyle. Okay. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Man, you know, because you're on my page, I support real talent. Okay, caller.
Yeah, you do.
404, last is 8180. You on the phone with Mesa? What's
That's
up?
That's me.
Aww.
Yeah, I can't wait until you get here in July. Man, you
yeah,
talk about a crazy
time.
Lineup.
Yeah, I'm going to have fun.
Sweet.
Yeah,
so, you know, I've always been familiar with Incognito, fortunately, and I knew your voice. I knew the voice. I just didn't know the name.
Oh,
and
wow.
So when I found out the name, I was like, this is not to take away anything from Incognito, but I'm thinking this is Incognito. Mesa Lee is Incognito. You know, because that was the voice I was hearing all along.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I have no doubt that you will be elevated. Everything, there's always a process.
Yeah.
And everything has its time.
I believe that.
Yeah. I see it coming.
I'm not giving up. I'm keeping moving.
Oh, there's no need to. There's no need to.
Now, you say no this here. We're here in July. We're here. The show in July is going to be?
In Atlanta.
Okay. Oh, I love Atlanta. In Atlanta. Yeah. So who's on the bill, Lala Mason?
Marion Meadows. It's a strong jazz lineup. I know Marion Meadows. I'm thinking Najee, but I don't recall for sure if Najee. Do you recall, Mesa?
No, I'm not sure yet. I gotta look at the schedule. I just know
I can look it up, but it's an awesome lineup. It really is.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. Let's see. Well, Atlanta has some great shows.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling me in, and thank you for encouraging my sister to make up today. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Appreciate it.
All right. Keep listening.
All right. Okay. Well.
Now, that was awesome. Awesome. Encouraging words. I like that. Don't do that at all. Don't even think about it. It really wouldn't be, like she says, there's no need to. Not need to. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, I know you got to get ready for your trip. Because like I told you all, you guys, Mesa does karaoke on every Sunday. And what time does it start?
7:30
every Sunday on her Facebook. Now, tell me when they can see
you. Facebook Live, yep. Facebook Live. You go to my official like page. It'll pop up. And then, so I'll be on there for. I'm trying to do an hour tonight. I think, you know, I always get go a little bit longer, but it's usually an hour every week just to hang out and thank people who have supported my career my whole life. It's just, and people who can't come see me, I sing to them. People who are sick and don't feel well, I try to do something to make you feel better and get ready for the work week or get ready for the week coming up. And that's all it is. It's nothing convoluted, nothing. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to make people happy. And this is the only way I know how to thank people for my career. And so I do this. It started out as just me just opening a new website and you know, trying to do a little celebration for it. And then people asked me, are you going to come back next Sunday night? And I was like, okay, I'll do it next Sunday night. And then it just, for that last 2.5 years, it just kind of grew. And so now I'm going to evolve it a little bit. There's some special things coming up that I'm going to do, some one-off things. You know, it won't be a permanent super surprises all the time, but there are some surprises coming to karaoke that we're going to change up a little bit. So I'm just excited and I love it. I'm glad that people see it. I mean, I get to meet everybody at my shows. They come out to my shows, my karaoke family. Every week we have an average of, you know, 30 to 40,000 people that watch every week. And that's just a beautiful thing. So I get to meet these people at my concerts. Now I go out even on the street, like, and I go in the supermarket. It's like, oh, I love karaoke. And it's just an amazing feeling that, you know, that people are receiving the gift that I, or my love for them, show that I'm trying to show them back. And so it's a good feeling.
Oh, hello.
What's happening? Hello, Dawn. Ooh, Lord. So you got cut off, babe. All right. Well, I'm going to hang up now because I'm not sure what's happening.
I'm going to say goodbye to everyone. I see you at karaoke at 7:30. Thank you for the interview, sweetheart. I'll talk to you soon.
Hello? Hello? Oh, my God. Okay, what happened was the, as I said, always something happened on this show. My call struck, and I didn't even think guest was at Mesa. Mesa, I really enjoyed you. Thank you for stopping by. I'm terribly sorry about the ending. That you were a terrific and great co-host. I enjoyed the interview. You're welcome back here anytime. And I'm going to end the show today with. We will end the show today with how we begin the show. This is Mesa Leak, everyone. Have a great week.
I'm trying.
That was Incognito. That was Incognito with Deep Water. As I said, that's the song that started off my love for Mason Lee. And again, I want to say, Mason, thank you so much. she's a real trooper. She hung in there throughout the mishaps and everything. I love it. But I'm going to end the show with The Things You Do for Love. This is a song I said is my favorite from her latest project that should have been nominated for Grammy Awards. This is The Things We Do for Love. Thank you all for tuning in. Ask you to tune in again next week. This is a celebration of Black Music Month. So next week I have another surprise guest. You all just and thank you for being a listener talking shit with Tyree. I love you all. Peace.
Would you send me blue roses? Would you send me kisses? Would you send me your love? Or would you just bring it to me? What you